Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, been a busy couple of weeks for you.
Man, it is nonstop. I was just about to say, man, right now we have a crew working with WOW down on off Fremont Street. Right. They got a couple of rings that are being set up. They pay very well, you know. I got students in a ring crew getting paid. You know, right. that's a rare occurrence. But, you know, they're paying. Yesterday, met up with my guy Sean from the LFC. We're going to help promote their event on Halloween because we have the Made Fight League, which is that boxing-type event that we got going Halloween. Night before Halloween, we got our Halloween show. And now the LFC wanted to run. So I got him the venue that Shakur, who works with us, called Club 828 by the Sphere. And we're going to be probably doing some beers and body slams there. And we met up yesterday to set up the LFC event that's going to be happening there October 31st. So it's just nonstop. And then we have the Matriarchs of Wrestling. They're going to be doing a show. Jennifer Thomas, who's done some stuff with us in the past, on November 7th. And, you know, WOW, next week we got the ring crew and they got the shows next Tuesday and Wednesday. And then the week after they got shows. So we got, you know, ring crew really busy. We got this Saturday, there's going to be no kids class because we have the breaking tournament. Everybody was all excited. They thought Shabadoo was going to be on hand. But unless Shabadoo is going to be breaking concrete and breaking concrete and breaking bricks and stuff like that, that's the only breaking that we're going to be doing. So not alone with us having two more shows happening in October. The 18th, Day of Reckoning, is going to be huge. The Return of the Unguided. The 30th, we have another Halloween event. I guess it's called Devil's Night because it's the night before, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, the Halloween gimmick battle royal, the casket match that we will be announcing soon. So it's just like nonstop, man. It's like, this is the busiest I can honestly say I have ever been running FSW. And I thought we were going to be on the downturn. And then we're only in October. Wait till April comes along.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you get to relive the madness all over again.
Yeah. You know, my guy, the Godfather, he's going to be, we got the Hard Rock Cafe watch party on the Saturday. I got graced by the Godfather's presence. He came by my house this week. His boy Kyle, that I've known for 15 years, they finally picked up the Nitro Grill sign. So not only now we're trying to find out. All of a sudden we loaded the thing on the Godfather's truck and there was a scorpion in there. It was like a baby scorpion. And I've never seen one here. Shit. It was like red. So now I don't know if it was like where the covering was for the Nitro Grill sign or just happened to be in his truck because he lives like all the way on the northwest side. Right. So it's like, wow, I've never seen a scorpion like in person at my house. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a it was a baby, which would mean, you know, it had to have a mommy and a daddy.
Right. Well, let's hope it was the Godfather's his crew of his
yeah, he asked me for something to kill it. I brought a rock and it slid under his little the little crack in his truck bed.
Oh, Jesus.
So he brought it home with him at least.
So I guess the lesson here is moving the sign ain't easy.
What's that?
Moving the sign ain't easy.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, it's been there's been a lot going on. Conrad Thompson hasn't been back up. We're going to have to put that Road Wild sign back up. But Shakur might be interested, wants to add some wrestling decor, Shakur, at the at his facility. So sure. We're working on some stuff. My guy Diaz Mackey trying to – Joe DeFalco stepping into another realm. I'm looking at, you know, promoting and possibly doing a comedy show there. I've had this idea for a long time using the ring, Squared Circle Comedy. Don't steal the fucking name. You know, and the comics perform inside the ring.
Yeah.
Which would mean we would have to do the comedy show on Friday, set up the ring, and then we'd have to do the Beers and Body Slam Saturday since there'd be a ring in there anyway.
Sure. Yeah. You know, maybe two night tickets. And
And I found out something crazy because it was like a little like an opening and it had like some like a panel over it. Like if you're looking at this screen right now and it was like covered with wood. And then they were talking, and it's the taco place next door that they slide the window, and you can order your tacos there.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So I got to figure out how we're getting a cut of that because we ain't giving away, you know, we ain't giving them that free business. You know, you better give me like 83 cents a taco. They add up when you sell like 500 tacos.
Well, you know, yeah, of course. And, you know, get yourself that 20% cut.
Well, you know, that was the deal we had when we did the FSW GCW, and the guy up the street, the Pollos Dorado, he set up the thing, and he ended up selling like $500-$600 worth of tacos in a matter of 3 hours. So he made money. We made a little cut out of it. Not bad.
Yeah.
Moving and shaking.
I love it. That's the best thing. Speaking of moving and shaking, go back a little bit here. Collision Course, what were your thoughts on everything that went down?
Another, you know, pretty good show. A little lighter. Jaden Cole was injured, so he wasn't on the card. C4, he got injured the night before.
Right.
And it gave an opportunity to see some newer talent that came up. A kid who messaged me, I didn't really know anything about him. Remy ended up being very high on him when we used him, who wrestled Oliver Canada in his place. Young blood, Gabe Rocha, no relation to Al Rocha. But, you know, he definitely, you know, might be something that we might be utilizing down the line. So it's that good crew out of Arizona, SOS. She brought somebody who manages her sometimes, and he came the last time, and then we had an opening, and he looked pretty good. Ozzy G. So, you know, it's funny how back in the day I used to do shows in Arizona and was like, we always had to bring in the talent because they were so fucking scarce of talent there. That right. They had shitty promotions and they had shitty wrestlers, other than like Graves and Hammerstone and the handful of others. They were good guys for sure, but they didn't really have anything to maintain. But now it's like it ain't just the PCW guys, it's the guys from Tucson and the guys in the AWF, and even though we haven't used them, guys like the Regulators, and there's a lot of great talent out there. So it's like the hotbed is SoCal. And Arizona for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the game is changing, you know, a lot. And it's great to see. So this might be the last time we see, Jacob Austin Young for a while. You know, did him and Greg meet the expectations?
Well, that's right. We haven't done anything since, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
You know, he's heading back to Japan, I believe, the morning after Day of Reckoning, because I was trying to squeeze him in for one more. And, you know, we were looking at the Transcendence versus the One Night Only Death Proof reunion. But, you know, yeah. Cody's not really ready to go, you know, still banged up, you know. But, yeah, you know, it was great to see Jake there, and the crowd response to him was tremendous both times, you know. Unfortunately, title change, you know. San Lu becomes the new Nevada State champion, and Duke Lawrence not taking it lightly because he got involved in the main event and attacked Sharp and Jacob Austin Young, which brought out Bateman, who was looking to cash in the case. And I was thinking, hey, now at the Death Proof reunion, we could do Sharp and Jacob Austin Young versus Bateman and Duke Lawrence on the 18th, but Bateman won't be there the 18th. So, but we saw through the promo that he cut that he has an opponent for Jay Vidal. And we didn't know who it was until after the show when Bateman announced that Jay Vidal's handpicked opponent will be Duke Lawrence at Day of Reckoning.
Which is pretty... I mean, you talk about,
you don't like Duke normally, but when he's angry and he lost the championship.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go. I was like, what? Duke's joining the faction. They don't want Demir now. They want Duke Lawrence.
Hey, that wouldn't be a bad move.
There you go. Duke versus Demir. The winner becomes part of the faction.
Gotcha. Yeah.
MK might have an issue with that, you know. I know he's been on the road, very upset, you know, Utah football. Wasn't able to be there. Shogun got involved a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it looked like Duke might be trying to get himself disqualified by trying to crash the Nevada State Championship over the head of San Lu.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's a journey for San Lu too. If you look back at, you know, the past, what, about 2 years, you know, ever since him and Shogun kind of split, you know, there's been some moments of off time and some moments of, you know, getting back into things. And man, he looks better than he has in a long time, man. He looks like he is focused and, you know, probably in the best shape of.
Yeah. He leaned up when he stopped wrestling for a little bit, and now he's getting it back, but he's still got that thinness about him, but he's still in really good shape. And, you know, real life, you know, when a guy that he loved, and they had their issues, and who's the top dog, and who's the big orca, and all this other stuff. But when you find out this guy almost dies in a car accident, and then you got MK and Duke making fun and taking shots, you know, your true colors are going to come out. If San Lu was a real piece of shit, he would have kind of just, you know, went with the flow. But, you know, he stepped in on that, and didn't have it. And, you know, it's good to see that everything's good with Shogun, because we were all extremely concerned. And, you know, even fans were really disgusted by some of MK's, you know, statements and watching from the wheelchair and just saying some stupid shit. And now, you know, Shogun is far exceeded what anybody thought. You know, when he walked in that door the first time, I was just like, what the fuck? This is like a miraculous recovery. And now to see him all of a sudden, you know, he was back a few months ago. And this happened in Thanksgiving night.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking 6 months. A guy was in a coma for a month and a half.
Yeah.
So, you know. Luck of the draw, we got Cross, we're working on things with him, the meet and greet, tickets are half sold out on the front row already, and we really haven't done anything. They just went on sale nice and early at the Silverton, so you can get tickets there. If you're interested, you either message me, or you can get the Doomsday package over on Eventbrite, six former champions. I got wind that one of our most recent champions, which would be the seventh, who, you know, we talked about the retirement of FSW, Danny Limelight seems very slighted that there was no invitation, and he's looking at that poster and wondering where Poppy is. And it was like, bro, you're the one who told me, even though I know better because, you know, I know better. But he's been talking about trying to do the tag with Slice Boogie. And from what I understand, Limelight's got a statement coming out pretty soon about the issues that are going on. So I'm waiting with bated breath for what Danny has to say.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you did kind of slight him, Joe, you know, and I don't think he ever meant to retire. I just think that his feet were, you know, just excessively really sweaty. Yeah, achy and swelling and needed to get the boots off right away or else he would have had to, you know, go to the paramedic. So
yeah, there you go. So,
you know, kind of looking here at Day of Reckoning, which is on the 18th at 7 p.m. at FSW. All right. So you have the Faction Summit. What are we looking at with that? Because when I saw that announced, is this taking care of business, airing out dirty laundry? You know, just interesting that they're going to get some time here to address.
Well, yeah. So from what I'm understanding, you know, I see Ice here and there because he's always around, you know, working hard. But him and Braxton are kind of not down with the idea. Fresco and Watson felt, let's freshen things up. You know, as I told you, they've been traveling a lot with Demir. And they really smartened him up to the business. You know, I always called him one of the dumbest motherfuckers I know. You know, and he's a young kid. He was 18, 19, and I didn't realize he was that young. But, you know, grow up. But he's learned, and he's really picked up, and he's gotten a lot better. And I guess Fresco and Watson have really gotten a liking to him and feel that he would be a nice, fresh addition to the faction. And, you know, it started with the open challenge from Ice, and Demir did pretty well, but, you know, the crafty veteran Ice Williams pulled out the victory. So now they asked for it, and we gave them the match, and Braxton wrestled Demir. And again, another pretty good match. So, you know, at 20 years old, you know, Demir is definitely the future. You know, he's got a bright future ahead. And right. I guess, you know, Fresco and Watson feel like, hey, you know, this guy's got something, you know, let's bring him into the mix. While I guess Ice and Braxton feel, yeah, you know, he's pretty good, not bad, but I guess not feeling that maybe he's faction material yet. So,
well, I mean, that's a great question for you in terms of how you've seen him come along over the past, you know, 4 or so years. When you look at him, do you see his growth, you know, because like you said, I mean, at times he might have not been, shall we say, the smartest in the group and
the sharpest
tool in the shed.
Yeah. So, you know, he's improved immensely. You know, he understands a little bit better. You know, I'd have to go on Messenger and blast him for stupidity and, you know, let me know things and what's going on and where are you and all this other stuff. And he's made it a point. Because, again, communication is usually the biggest issue with the younger guys. And communication's one of the bigger things for the older guy. You know, when you're not going to be there, I kind of need to know. You know, it's like when you guys coming up 8 months ago, a year ago, the Davions, the Demirs, you know. And again, it had a lot to do with that, where it's like we're running a future shock. So I'm assuming you're going to be on the card. You know the date. If you're not able to make it, you kind of need to make me aware of these things. Oh, yeah. I can't be there. Oh, I got this going on. And it's like, I thought you wanted to be a wrestler. It's like, oh, I'm going to do this. And, oh, well, you know, it's my birthday week. And even though my birthday was 3 days earlier, I can't make the show. It's like, well, hey, how about you come to the show for 3 hours? And then you go out and you party and have a good time for the rest of the weekend. Sure. Like, I'm not understanding the concept of what you want. And you're asking for things because everybody's asking for things.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, now Demir's kind of stuck. Davion couldn't make it. And that's what kind of led to the implosion of those guys was the right. fact that, you know, one was around more than the other. And Demir was very mature about it, you know, and as you could see, because look at the feud that those two guys had. Yeah. Davion was the brat. And he utilized his girlfriend to basically get the win by putting her in harm's way.
Yeah.
So, you know, Demir's got a lot of talent. Davion's got a lot of talent. But, you know, it ain't what you say a glass ceiling. But how do you break through when Jay Vidal lives in Florida, but he's trying to make almost all the shows he can? And Bateman moves to Vegas. And Duke's a monster. And your tag team division's through the roof. So maybe they saw the writing on the wall that the Killer D's, man, that it's like bumper cars. Like you're going to hit it and you're going to bounce back because, you know, makeshift chemistry became hot. Mariachi Montaña, the Suavecitos come back. The Unguided are back. Class in Reno, Young Money. And it was like, you know, Young Money was the third. He was the lackey, you know, for the Billionaire Boys Club or now Pretty City. And now Transcendence, all of a sudden, they kind of came up and Evan Daniels all in the mix. And then they started working some tags together and they struck gold. And, you know, it's no fault of theirs. But when people are established or when Danny Limelight says, hey, I want to come back with Slice Boogie and work some tags, you know, they're getting the spot over Killer D's. So there's a lot of frustration on the younger guys because they're trying to get spots. And now you're not available for Future Shock, which makes me not interested in using you on a different show. If you can't make the show, you're going to be on 100%.
Yeah.
So I'm the one who has to make that decision. And it's never a personal decision. It's like, hey, this is how business works. When I have people that are going to be there for me and you're not, sorry, I can't get you that match at the Lee's Family Forum when 3 days from that show, you're not going to be able to make the show on Saturday. You think I'm going to go out of my way and not put Ice Williams or Matt Vandegrift or Bodie on this show that we're trying to showcase? You're not one of my top 10 or top 20 guys, and that's just the way it is. And until you get to that point, and for Demir, of course, you would think, hey, if he gets to be put in the faction, he's kind of jumping the line.
Yeah.
Because now, hey, Ice might be doing something. They need a six-man tag, and Braxton's wrestling for Revolver, or he's at Reality of Wrestling. Boom, Demir gets to step in a marquee matchup.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than having to get lunch for everybody and there's coffee and all their other stuff, you know, he might get a good opportunity.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, look what it's done for, you know, for Jaden Monroe there, right? You know, sometimes you have to be the lackey to move up the chain.
Right, so. And that got him a spot.
Yeah. Another thing here, since we're talking about Transcendence, Po' Boys getting a little taste of the action. You know, Chase has probably had one of the hardest times over the last 3-4 years, man, with all the time off for injuries. It's nice to see those two kind of get back and, you know, show the
habit. Right, the ship, you know, they've been very up and down, up and down, up and down. Big victory against Young Money at the Future Shock last month, and then they bounced back with another victory this past weekend. You know, kind of a makeshift team, but you know, thanks to scheduling, we needed a team. Unguided, they're wrestling a new team out of San Diego that have become highly, you know, recommended. They're called Pump Line, and they wrestle. It's funny, they wrestle at a place called Rival Pro. And right. I swear to God that those guys must have watched FSW shit and said, man, what a cool looking arena. And according to Remy, Juan Matoli, J2 or whatever, when he came to the show and he wrestled on one of them or whatever, he was like, oh, this venue looks great, blah, blah, blah. He had something to do with it because it's black and orange. The ropes are orange. It's like the posters are up on the wall, pretty much identical to the setup. The first time I looked at it, GCW was there, and I saw the pictures, and I'm like, what the fuck is this, like an old picture? And then I looked, and I'm like, wait, this isn't our arena. So basically, you know, they stole the look of the FSW arena. And these guys are a mainstay there. And, you know, big, big moment for them. They get to be on a main show wrestling the return of the Unguided.
Yeah. And also probably feel like they're wrestling in their home gym.
Yeah. So, so they might think they have the home field advantage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got Jordan Oasis on the card after his one, you know, his one slap knockout. Brittany Brooks, man, the women's champ. She had a busy schedule last month, but she is back for the 18th and the 30th. She will be wrestling, defending the women's title on the 18th. So we have that. We got Transcendence. So there's at least two title matches. I'm pretty sure Sharp's going to be there. He'll probably defend the heavyweight championship. So, sure. You know, I've been so busy. It's like, you know, in the next, by tomorrow, I'm pretty much going to figure out the whole card. You know, Dante King's supposed to be there. Yeah. So Layla Gray's supposed to be there. Luke Curtis supposed to be there. So it's like trying to mix and match. You know, it's like, oh, here's what we got. We got the Halloween. We got the 18th. It's like, so now we got, you know, 4 or 5 matches set. I got to put names down where we're going. You know, on the 30th, you know, we got a bunch of our tag teams that are going to be there. So, you know, we're excited. You know, it's like, it's solid show after solid show.
Right. Any chance that the Devil's Night turns into a tag team exclusive show with all
no,
those?
No, because we're not. We having a casket match. You know, that's going to be there. We got a new flyer. You know, San Lu was available. I'm not sure if I got something for him on the 18th. So if not, he will definitely defend the Nevada State Championship on the 30th. Yeah. So, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, if you remember, TBD first got together as a tag team at a Halloween show. Yeah. They played the APA in the Halloween Battle Royal.
Right.
Where I'm pretty sure they both won and they went out together. So they were the final participants. And I remember watching it, and that was a show we did down on off Fremont Street,
right,
yep, at Neonopolis. And I thought their chemistry was tremendous, and it was like, wow, you know, putting these guys together, and that spawned what we saw them together as being the tag team champions. So, hey, you know, they had matches before when they weren't getting along. Maybe San Lu wants to defend the title on Halloween against Shogun. Who knows?
But only if they dress as the APA, right?
As the APA, yes.
So you can promote it as
Bradshaw versus Simmons, yes.
Right.
So, you know, it's crazy. It's like, man, trying to put it together, it's, you know, what we talk about, because we have so many guys who've been with us for so long. Right. And it's like, the matchups are still as fresh can be.
Yeah.
And that's what makes for, you know, exciting wrestling. And that's what makes people want to come out.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing too is that, you know, one of the reasons I think that people want to come out is that everyone is, you know, putting their best foot forward now. You know, you can't be half-assed and lazy. You have to, you know, you have to be able to keep up at a level that is continuously having a bar raised, which, you know, that's one of the things now, you know, you can lose a spot by, you know, just
not being able to make it that day.
Yeah. X, Y, or Z. Yeah.
You know, again, look at Jordan Oasis. During his whole tenure with the ID program, we barely ever used him. He would message me. It just didn't work out because his schedule filled up. And like I said, no, bro, we don't have a match for you on the casino show when we haven't seen you for the last four shows. Like, I'm not giving up a spot for a guy that 3 months ago, I didn't even know who Luke Curtis was.
Yeah.
But he played his way into the lineup.
Yeah.
He paid his, you know, people hit me up all the time. Oh, you know, love to work for FSW. Hey, I'm going to be. I don't give a fuck you're going to be in town. Who cares? Who are you? Like, I don't even know who these people are, like, telling me, hey, you know, I really want to work for you. I'll be in town. You know, yeah, and? Like, I just make up shows? Go to the other shows in town that they'll randomly put you on in some match that means nothing.
You also sometimes don't even know when you have a wrestler who's on national television who happens to be training in your gym and you don't know who they are when you look at them. So
there you go. You know,
it's not an easy thing.
There's so much talent. It's crazy. Yeah. You know, and I spew it all the time. And people say, man, he says the same shit. I say a lot of different shit, but it's true. You know, and go look at the offshoots. At worst, let's say at best, the other company in town is using only 50 or 60% of our guys. And at worst, they're using 80 or 90%.
Yeah.
So, you know, get your own talent.
Yeah, well, that's true, you know, and you know, and it's interesting too, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we've talked of a number of people who, you know, talent might filter out and go elsewhere for a while, but then they come back around and, you know, kind of understand and have that recommitment. And, you know, you see the difference in what they're doing now. Of course, you know,
everything is choices, man. It's like, you know, big fish, small pond.
Yeah.
Small fish, big pond.
Big pond, right.
But, you know, try making a list of the attributes of what's offered, because, you know, then you got the slick ones that try to kind of still be around because they still want to reap the benefits, but never put you as a priority. and then wonder why. Oh, any chance you can get a match on Future Shock? Yeah, if six other people can't make it, sure. Because there's a pecking order based on what you do for us in return of what you're expecting me to do for you. You know, because a lot of people try to act like, you know, it's just there and the opportunities that they get. And it's like, you know, we had to, I had to go outside FSW to get the ring crew. You know, we got the majority of our guys, but, you know, there's a couple of kids and guys who used to train with us. So I made a post on Facebook because we were short a couple of people. And I get it, you know. But it's funny how a lot of people always talk about no money or can't pay dues or they're late on dues. And it's a paid position at WOW, like Ref Amber. Hey, you got Dave McLean. You know, hits me up. Hey, you got a female ref, I heard. I'm like, yeah, you know, we got Amber, blah, blah, blah. Connect them. She messages me. And it's like she sent the information like I told her to do. And she'll be at the tapings. Because why is he going to fly somebody in when he has a capable women ref right here in town? So now she gets that opportunity. Gabe Sapolsky saw her. Hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. Female ref. Like, please tell me where you got that other opportunity from. Yeah. Because, you know, again, I love watching The Messenger and know your worth and you need to be paid. And it's like, okay, you need to be paid when you're just going over there to go do a show. It's like, again, with my students, like I was having that conversation yesterday. You don't train and you're not, you don't train at those other companies. You don't do anything other than they call you up or message you and say, hey, we want to book you on the show that we're doing at a taco festival, at a school, whatever, that we're being paid to run this show, but we're going to try to get you to do ring crew because maybe we'll have a spot for you, but you're still doing ring crew for free and you're wrestling for pretty much for free. Like you need to be paid. And as I said, I don't give a fuck if it's 20 bucks. The guy's got to pay you to go set up his ring.
Right.
You know, or there's not many people who have rings in town that are being rented. It's me and Ricky.
Right. Yep.
You know, and we're all being paid. They have a ring rental.
Right.
So if you're a student, there's a difference.
Yeah.
You're not a student. You don't need to go to these different places and help set up the ring that they rented and paid somebody to use.
Right. Yeah.
If you're working for that company, that company needs to pay.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, like when we did the stuff in Prim and they paid us well. And we had the mariachis who were young and they got to wrestle with some good luchas that our guy Ruben Zamora uses in Tijuana and wrestle some triple A's out there. And even Ricky was there and Mondo, and they all got paid because there was money coming in on that one. That was a whole separate entity. It wasn't an FSW show. It's like the WOW thing. You're getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, far more than you're getting paid in an hour. You're lucky if those guys pay you to do it.
Right.
So it's like, you know, there's a difference between being a student and not being paid and being just on the show and not being paid.
Right.
And knowing that, because you know what? Everybody's in my office. Everybody, hey, now we got another guy starting a show. Okay, that's great. So why are you knowing all my information? Because I'm a talker. I'm in my office. Maybe you should have let me know that you're helping run some other company. I don't need you to know my fucking FSW business.
Right.
Common courtesy if you're going to be in my office.
Right.
You know? And it's like, oh, hey, we should use that Jaden Cole guy. He sold 15 tickets. Well, why do you know that? Because you heard me say it because you're part of our crew, but you're really an outsider.
No. Well, and you know, let's face it too. The idea of code as well is it's funny because all that stuff should be staying in house. You should never mention things and whatnot because that's the code. But it's funny how that if you are helping out and it comes to you potentially making money off of it, well, then now little things might slip out of your mouth that they shouldn't be, you know, passed along.
And, you know, now I would know better.
Yeah.
But well, you were planning something, but I was right. not aware of it. So you're seeing, you see my card, you see the, hey, I'm talking, I'm bullshitting somebody else, you're going to overhear. And, you know, there was a reason why we tried to keep the office kind of empty. And again, for a little while, like some of the younger guys, like, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck are you doing? Like, supposed right. to be at the, doing the fucking show. Unless you're helping Mikey, like one of our students was, you know, pushing the graphics, you know, for the Future Shock or whatever.
Right.
But man, like, do what you're supposed to do.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and at the very least, again, if you're around it, just don't use that information elsewhere. Keep it to yourself. That's how it should be. But yeah. All right. Future Shock that you just had. Anything stand out to you in terms of when it went on with Future Shock?
I got to say, I was once again impressed with SOS. You know, yeah. She gets it, you know,
yeah.
Wants to be a part. Hey, I'm available. Give me some dates, you know. And again, it's crazy how the blinders are on from our people. And then the other people, when they're being brought in, it's an honor for them. You know, this is a goal for a lot of people. And they treat it as such.
Right.
So, you know, the Aussie kid, oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You know, anytime you need me, you know, let me know. The gay broker guy, you know, same thing. You know, and I, believe me, I'm not one on big that thank you. You need to thank me and shit like that. But it's good to know the appreciation of people that what we built here is special.
Right.
And it just gets irritating sometimes that a lot of the in-house people don't see it that way.
Right.
When they walk in yesterday and Tyler Bateman's their trainer. And next Monday they'll walk in and Chris Bay's their trainer.
Right.
And today Sin Bodhi will walk in with Rip Rogers.
Right.
Who just volunteers to come because he's friendly with Sin. And tomorrow Kenny King will be there. And yeah, maybe he won't be there. But then maybe Gregory Sharp will be there. Or maybe Chris Bay will be there. And you know, Thursday Cody will be there and Friday Remy will be there. And you never know. Show up Monday afternoon and you got AEW people and TNA people. And, you know, you got people all over that all you could do is a fucking absorb as much info as possible. Because you know what? You would still pay me the same amount. If I had some random kid running, like I could have a normal guy who's been with me 3-4 years running classes and pay them close to nothing because our rent's very high. But it's like, oh, okay, I could save the money. And since I use Bateman every other week and save the money and have kind of a potpourri potluck open gym on Monday. But no, Chris Bay's ready to go. Okay, Chris, we're going to give you the other every other Monday. And it's trying to give everybody this opportunity to become the best that you can possibly be. And you're not going to do it when it's a bunch of you, you know, it's 8 or 9 of you jerk-offs in there with nobody to really run the class. And all you guys want to do is, you know, jump off the top rope and do stupid shit. Because they're 20-something kids who like wrestling, and any moment they can to do stupid shit, they will. And, it, you know, it, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's fine to do some stupid shit, but also being able to, the majority of time, do the important shit. When there is right. no trainer, there isn't a lot of time for the important shit.
Yeah. Let's see. You just mentioned TNA. Josh here says that I'm in Orlando now to support the Hardys. Looks like the Hardys are going for the NXT and TNA tag team championships.
Tell Matt, when you see Matt, tell him, make a sign. Joe DeFalco needs a call back. That's it. That'd be the best sign ever. Hey, Matt, Joe DeFalco needs a call back.
And then Matt, you know, just happens to forget who Joe DeFalco is because of that hit in the head.
He knows. He knows.
And Scoop chimed in with, my favorite quote applies, never pass up a perfectly good opportunity to shut the fuck up.
You know, it's simple stuff. You know, I get some of these guys, you know, quotes I'll never forget. Colin Muldoon. You need to watch that again. No, I don't. You're lucky I watched it the first time, motherfucker. We're telling you for your own good. You ain't that fucking good. And again, oh, well, he's young. I don't know. Was I that dumb at like 19? I don't know. 18? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, you could have been, but the question is, were you cocky enough to express it?
I don't think so. But, you know, I'll give Colin credit. You know, grandma's not paying the way anymore. He had to actually get a job. And I messaged her, hey, dues were due. And she ghosted me. Grandma ghosted me. And then I saw Colin like 5 days later. He's like, oh, I got your money for dues. I'm like, oh, you mean you're paying them? Wow, that's crazy. Immediately started asking for the discount. Wasn't worried about grandma getting a discount.
Right.
Yeah, pay full rate. Don't worry about it. The minute he paid, was like, "Oh, could I get some get some cheese off that?"
Well, you know, that shows he's maturing.
Yes, we'll see. Yeah, he showed up at Future Shock. He showed up late. Like, where the fuck were you? You didn't respond, so obviously I didn't put him on the card. But he's a guy that I would have. But again, communication. You didn't post, I'm good, I'm available or I'm not available. And then he was like, oh, I was working. I just got out. Okay, I'll give him credit. He showed up, you know, halfway through the show, you know. Worked real hard, just like all the other students during the show. They hung around and watched the show.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, it ain't that hard to do. It's mind-boggling how many of the students don't show up. So well, I guess you got to kind of give credit to the ones who actually do.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at what's coming up now, you know, again, we've talked about Dave Reckoning a little bit here. Devil's Night will be on the 30th. I kind of made mention of casket match because it's, you know, something that's tradition at this point. The Battle Royal, any whispers of, you know, the kids getting ready for
it? Not yet. I haven't really heard anything. I know a lot of the students who haven't gotten in any matches, and maybe they did and it was the last year's Halloween gimmick Battle Royal. You know, they're kind of nudging for the spot. And in most cases, if you've been around long enough, I don't care. I'm going to put you in there as long as you're, you know, semi-functional as well as semi-helpful. You know what I mean? It's like you're putting in some work. You're paying your dues. You show up to help a bit. I'm gonna give you that moment because it's a battle royal. You know, it ain't lasting that long. I always say the whole gimmick of the Halloween gimmick battle royal is that the entrances last longer than the actual match.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, don't look like yourself and then come out to CM Punk's music and say, I'm CM Punk. And it's like, you know, we've seen people, you know, they have the tape on their arms and with the writing on it. And they do the gimmick where we've seen some people, you know, I remember back in the day, the Hefe had a professional makeup artist do his crow sting makeup, you know, that looked fantastic, you know, and some people go really above and beyond, you know, this is the coolest moment for them, you know, and hey, I'm going to wear a skirt and be AJ Lee for the women. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and who's Flair and gets themselves a wig, you know, whatever it is. But it's like almost everybody who is doing it because they love wrestling. So the gimmick battle royal, I don't know who likes it better, the fans or the wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I do remember a Joe DeFalco making an appearance once.
Yes. Spider Warrior. Who would have thought he had it in him?
As he came out of retirement just for that.
Just for that.
And you didn't have the decency to book him to win.
Nope. I had the Macho Man guy booked to win, and then he couldn't do the Battle Royal, and then he showed up at the end and won. It was like, what the fuck? That was at Neonopolis, too, I remember.
Oh, man. All right. So we've talked about those. We still are out, you know, just a little over a month now from Luck of the Draw. Like you said, tickets are now on sale at Silverton.
Yeah, strong month and a half. We got a lot of time, thankfully, on this one. And it's like, you know what? Tickets are moving quick. People are, you know, chomping at the bit. You know, Kevin's a draw. You know, the minute it was like Kevin's going to be there, boom. And, you know, everybody's going to love to see Hammerstone. Graves hasn't been around in a while. You know, and again, that could be the stepping stone to bring in Graves in.
Yeah.
And again, there goes another young boy spot. Not to be confused, but young boy. And it's funny because, you know, we talk about the belt and we talk about the former champions. The memory showed up of the FSW Heavyweight Championship belt. So, you know, I tagged all the former champions except young boy because I couldn't find him on the Facebook. And I guess Cross doesn't have a Facebook page anymore. But it was like, oh, yeah, I almost forgot Brian Cage and L.A. Knight. And it was like, oh, I forgot Tyshawn. Yeah. But it was like, man, you know, we had a run where basically you got the FSW championship. And then within a year, you were signed to a major company. So.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And, you know, not too far off still. You know, if you look at everyone within the recent years.
Yeah. You know, I won't take credit for Matt Hardy. He was already a name. So,
you know, I don't know. I it's kind of big of you. Kind of big of you to
yeah, not take credit. You know, Solo Sikoa was a Nevada State champion.
Right.
You know, if he would have got signed 3 months later, he would have basically relinquished the heavyweight championship. Because the fans, there, you know, there was discussions being had.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, again, it's a lineage, and it's something that everyone should be shooting for if they're you know, going out there and
working. You know what's good though? The good thing is now the lineage is expanding. Like it expanded with, you know, Zoe Stark getting signed, so we had and the women's belt, And now you can say, hey, the tag team champion and Nevada State champion, Jacob Austin Young, and the No Limits champion, tag team champion, Nevada State champion, Matt Vandegrift, New Japan Strong. So, you know, a lot. All of a sudden, there's Gregory Sharp, New Japan Strong. You know, Hammerstone, MLW, TNA. Well, yeah, he's the champion, former champ. But looking at the other people, you know, and like when I make those posts, you know, there's at least 20 members of FSW. And I'm not talking about people that are signed. I'm talking about, you know, the Braxtons and the faction and the Suavecitos and you know, Viva Van beforehand. Now that she's in AEW, hey, there's one too now. She's signed with AEW. Yeah. But how many, at least 20 to 30 of our wrestlers that aren't signed anywhere got to appear on national television this year?
Yeah.
You know, whether it was AEW Dark or, you know, they got something with TNA and you know, whatever it is. So, you know, we've been very fortunate. You know, you want to go to a school and have, you know, a possible door opening. I can't really name a lot, especially on the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly. If you think about it.
You know, I love Santino, but Brody King's really the only guy from there who's really come out and made you know, signed with the major company.
Right.
They have really good wrestlers.
Right.
But, you know, I can't count on one hand. I need two hands to count, you know, at our school, you know, in Arizona.
Yeah,
you know, PCW has again. They got guys on the rise, and maybe down the line they will, but they don't have anybody, you know, that got signed out of the school. So it's like, where's that ID? I know Gabe's busy going to the Philly games and stuff, but how about hitting me up and getting that ID program? Because, you know, even Rikishi's school, other than recently, at least, Toa Leona's the only guy. I know he likes to take credit for Solo Sikoa, but everybody knows we trained him.
Well, I mean, you know, he gets partial credit at least.
Well, he birthed them. He doesn't take credit for training the Usos because the Usos trained with Booker T.
Yeah, well. But
so
but
he don't take credit for the Usos, so why is he taking credit for Solo Sikoa?
Well, because, you know,
he picked up the phone and called me and said, hey, Joe, can you do me a favor?
Well, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, the Usos, it was a different day and age, Joe. That was 20 years ago.
You know, it's all right. He could take credit for, you know, the one recently with Rajah Jackson.
Yeah,
AJ exactly. Manning. He could take credit for him. You trained him.
All right. As we wrap up for this week, final thoughts for everyone out there.
Yeah, you know, I get a breather from doing shows, but I don't get a breather. But man, October 18th, you know, anything that you want, we got. We got the women's champion on hand. You know, a lot of people's favorite tag team, the Unguided, having their first match back officially. You know, obviously they were at the benefit for Bay, and they killed it with the Rascals.
Yep.
So it's good to see, you know, them actually putting all their energy into being together. So I'm excited to see because, you know, no offense, but a lot of times, you know, they say the sequel's never as good as the original. And right. A lot of people, and I was riding high on that felt that they didn't take advantage of the situation they were in and decided to go their separate ways when they were really on the rise and they were getting, you know, a lot of love in the business. And a lot of companies were, you know, saying, hey, who are these guys? Because I always remember at the seminar with Gabe, the number one thing was, you know, back in the day was the Young Bucks. Later on, you know, hey, it kind of opened up. And Royce and Jarrell took advantage of that. They became a very popular tag team on the West Coast. But right. They're and Che and Tito, but they don't wrestle a ton. They do a lot of single stuff. Right. And there isn't that one tag team, and the Unguided look like they could be on that verge of being that tag team, and they kind of split up. And it was disappointing to see because I thought there was a good chance, which is why everybody does what they do. What is your best opportunity to get signed to a major contract? And I thought individually they were very good, but I thought as those characters and that Unguided was innovative, it was fresh, it was creative, it was something that you don't see with indie tag teams in a lot of cases.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully that they got smarter in the times apart doing their own thing. You know, Matt's, and I can't say they didn't get signed because Matt's working for New Japan. So it isn't like, you know, he's just been, oh, yeah, whatever, ho-hum. He's been on FSW, you know. So he's actually done very well for himself, which makes it a little crazier because he has had that single success. But, you know, and other people have talked to him, and, you know, whether it's Zoe Stark or cheerleader Melissa, you know, people that, you know, are kind of mentors to them, that enough of us have brought it up to where they felt, you know what, we are very good together. So let's see if they can get it done. Because you know what? Character development, which was one of their weaker points as singles acts, or changing characters and trying to find themselves, you know, hopefully they got that all out of them. And now the wrestling is going to be there. Their character is going to be there. And it's like, okay, let's get that total package. Let's get that TNA or let's get AEW or WWE say, hey, you know what? That way we can put them on the wall. Because that only benefits us.
I agree 100%. And, you know, it's, you know, the space on, there's a lot of space on the wall still.
Oh yeah, plenty of space.
You know, and I think if people aren't aiming for those banners, then they've got the wrong idea.
No, that's a goal. I know people like, oh, we're not getting a banner yet, and it's like, okay. You got to get, you know, people like, you know, Kenny King, and it was, oh, why didn't Kenny get a banner? And it was like, okay, Kenny was already a known commodity per se. When I got Kenny to be part of FSW,
right. Nobody
knew who LA Knight was. Nobody knew who Brian Cage was. Nobody knew who Cross was. Nobody knew who Chris Bay was, you know? And it's like, even with the Hammerstone, it was like when Hammerstone got signed to TNA, like MLW was great and is considered national, but it's a super indie in terms of they run one show a month. So to me, that wasn't, he made it. It's more of that mainstream thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great that Ice and Oasis got on the ID program, but that's a developmental signing type thing. So, and Ice would be the first to tell you. You know, he wants that banner because he got signed to WWE, AEW, being part of NXT, you know, stuff like that. So Jacob Boston Young got signed and wrestles in Japan.
Yeah.
That's the be-all, end-all.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, there's going to be more banners around the corner. It's going to be interesting to see who the next one is. That's the coolest part of this.
Yeah, it'd be great if a guy like Sharp now goes to Japan, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or you know, again, a guy like Luke Curtis, you know, always could be on the rise.
Yeah, you know, he's working the NWA shows now.
Mhm. So,
you know, getting opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all, and that's it. It's all about opportunities, you know, having everything ready. And when the opportunity comes, taking advantage of it full force. So, all right. Well, for this week, everybody, that's going to do it. October, was it 18th, 7 p.m.?
October 18th, 7 p.m. October 30th, 7 p.m. November 7th, I think, that would be the Future Shock. November 6th.
Okay.
I believe.
All right.
Let me find the thing here. November 8th, sorry. 6th would be a Thursday, because, yeah, I'm looking. So, yeah, November 8th would be the next Future Shock.
Okay.
Then luck of the draw the 23rd of November. Then we got a double shot in December. The 6th will be Future Shock. The 7th will be the women's show. The 20th will be Season's Beatings. And the 31st will be Countdown to Midnight.
There we go. It's all laid out.
Now the question becomes, do we do Countdown to Midnight at the club?
Yeah, which could be a really, a cool little atmosphere and environment for that show. So
yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, there you go, everybody.
Pretty crazy. We got, you know, yeah, 10 shows lined up.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a busy end of the year, to say the least. Yeah.
And then becomes, what's everything we're going to do for Mania Weekend?
Right. Exactly. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, happy wrestling, everybody.